Hey guys, welcome back to the show. I am so excited to have you here today. And we are back this week with an amazing guest interview about a topic that I personally am actually really, really interested in, not necessarily for the stage that I'm at right now in life, but one that I have gotten a lot of questions about from people, especially a lot of my listeners who are in that perimenopausal stage, postmenopausal stage. Because today we're talking all about hormone replacement therapy, and more specifically, bioidentical hormone replacement therapy with my amazing guest, Tyler Brannon. Let me tell you a little bit about her. Tyler Brannon is the CEO of Optimal Bio, a unique healthcare clinic in North Carolina that specializes in bioidentical hormone replacement therapy, or BHRT. BHRT uses all natural hormones that are identical to the hormones made by our bodies to ease the degenerative side effects of aging and other medical issues. The goal of bioidentical hormone replacement therapy is to balance your body's hormones, bringing them to the optimal levels your system was initially designed to maintain. Tyler focuses on personalized natural hormone treatments designed to address fatigue, brain fog, anxiety, sleep issues, and so much more. Tyler has a passion for proactive, individualized care, and her commitment to educating others on hormone health is evident in her work. Listen in to hear Tyler share how bioidentical hormone replacement therapy is different from using synthetic hormone treatments, why lab testing, diet, and lifestyle changes are critical components of balancing your hormones, how environmental factors can influence hormone levels and what you can do to minimize their impact, the importance of preventative healthcare and how BHRT supports both men and women as they age, insights on societal stigma around hormone replacement therapy and why being informed is so important, and so much more. I really learned so much in this episode. I was so excited to get to ask a lot of my own personal questions and some questions on behalf of some of my clients in this age and phase in life. And I really think you guys are going to learn a lot and really enjoy this episode. So without further ado, let's dive in and hear from Tyler. Welcome to the About Health and Hormones podcast. I'm your host, Lauren Allen, a recovered sugar addict turned certified nutrition coach on a mission to help women learn how to balance their hormones and optimize their fertility. On this podcast, we have conversations with experts about all things health, hormones, wellness, nutrition, and more to give you the information, tips, and tricks you need to take control of your health and feel amazing in your body. I am so happy that you're here and I can't wait to dive in. Hi, Tyler. Welcome to the show. I'm so excited to have you here. I'm also really excited because this is actually something we have not really talked about on this podcast yet. And I'm so excited to get into it and learn from you. As I was telling you before we're recording, even though I know a little bit about bioidentical hormone replacement therapy, I definitely would not say I'm an expert. So I'm also like alongside the audience, I feel like I'm going to learn a lot here. And I'm really excited.
I love it. And most people don't know about hormones at all, let alone bioidentical. So at Optimal Bio, just in my life, number one thing is education, just so that people can understand what it is, what it does. So I love talking about all things hormones.
Okay, amazing. I'm so excited to dive in. Before we get into like all the nitty-gritty stuff with BHRT, can you just tell us a little bit about yourself, how you kind of found yourself in this space?
Yes, when I was growing up, did I think I was gonna work with hormones? Probably not, right? But I grew up always thinking I wanted to be a doctor. So it definitely is like full circle. The medical director of Optimal Bio is my dad. So that's how beginning journey of it. So I'll do a quick story, a quick long story, but he was an OBGYN in Cary, North Carolina for over 30 years. And back in 2012, he started looking into BHRT for his GYN patients. And then I moved back to Raleigh, the Cary area, in 2018. So I went to South Carolina for grad school, moved to DC, moved back to Raleigh. And he was like, "Hey, can you come help at the hormone office?" And I'm like, what's the hormone office? Like, no, thanks. And then he was like, come on. Like, and I was like, sure. Like, I'll help while I'm applying for jobs. And at the time, we had one office. We were seeing about 20 patients a month. And I was a patient coordinator. So, which was the best education. So I learned every. So then, one, I created all the processes for who we are now. But I talked with patients every day. I reviewed all the labs. So I understood what we were doing at a deeper level. And now I've been the CEO of Optimal Bio since about 2019. And we've opened 9 locations across the Southeast and Texas and
Wow.
Florida. And we're opening the 10th in the next few months.
Oh, cool. That's so exciting. Okay, so for anyone listening who's like, what is optimal bio? What is bioidentical hormone replacement therapy? Can we start with like the very basics? What is
Yes.
it?
So Optimal Bio specializes in hormones, but more importantly, we specialize in bioidentical hormone replacement therapy, which means it's all natural. So it's the exact same molecule that your body produces, so it knows how to metabolize it, unlike a synthetic hormone. Also, we dose to your blood work, height, weight, and symptoms. So it's personalized to the person. It's not just a generic, oh, 37-year-old female, this is what you get. No, what does that person need?
And who are the types of people who would be a candidate for this? Like, who needs bioidentical hormone replacement therapy?
So sadly, our patients range from 18 to 80. And why, right? So as we age, our hormones decrease, but because of environmental factors, our hormones are decreasing at a lot quicker rate. So like our generation's hormones are very low because when you think of like plastics, the chemicals in our food, water, cleaning supplies, perfumes, right, all around us. Our body thinks it's estrogen, so it stops producing our own testosterone, why we're so much lower. And what people don't realize is testosterone has over 500 functions in both men and women. Women need testosterone more than estrogen. And so with something that's needing, 500 functions, every cell in our body has a testosterone receptor. It's very important, right? Our body needs it. And so the top reasons why we see people every day, fatigue is number one, brain fog, trouble sleeping, anxiety and depression. And of course, the list goes on. So we see migraines, joint pains, inflammation, insulin resistance. And also, if your hormones are in the optimal range, it helps act preventative. So it helps protect your brain, your bones, your heart. Because we think of aging, it's normal to get sick, to get diabetes, to have heart attacks, to get dementia. It's common because of our environment, our hormones, our, healthcare system, whatever you may be looking at. But our bodies are not built that way if we give it the proper things.
Yeah, and I think something that a lot of people who are probably listening to this are like confused, perhaps, because we do talk about, the introduction of synthetic hormones a lot on this show in different scenarios, whether that's with like birth control that contains synthetic forms of estrogen or progesterone, or even like a lot of people are on Synthroid for thyroid medication. And I'm sure there's a lot of people that are like, isn't this another band-aid solution? And I would love to hear you, like, first of all, explain the difference between bioidentical hormones versus synthetic and why, sometimes like the replacement is needed for people.
So I'll kind of back up for one second. When I said we're all lower, well, what does that mean? So females specifically, if we go to the doctor and we present with some symptoms, or even if we want our blood test done, our hormone blood test, they usually don't even test testosterone on women, right? But then if they do, the normal range for blood work is the average of the population. So every year, the normal range decreases. So for right now, depending on the blood work you get, the normal range for female testosterone is about 2 to 20. Our goal range for female testosterone is 90 to 300. Where did we get that range? It was literally what our grandparents were walking around at naturally before different things have caused our hormones to drop. Just kind of get that perspective. So birth control is synthetic. So one, birth control is synthetic. And that's why I keep saying bioidentical is all natural and it's the same molecule, because that is what makes the biggest difference. Think of like a lock and key. Bioidentical fits in, opens it, knows how to use it. A synthetic hormone may be able to fit in, but can't open. And that's what's going to cause other side effects. So, with birth control specifically, what it does is not only that it pumps synthetic estrogen and progesterone into your body, it makes your body stop producing your own hormones. So now you have no very low testosterone, if any, very low of your own estrogen and progesterone. And one of the biggest side effects for birth control is cancer. Like it is stated, it is shown, let alone with anxiety, depression, the list goes on. And I'm not saying there's never a time, but just understanding the difference, right? The progesterone and progestin. So we use progesterone, it's all natural, it's compounding. Progestin is from pregnant horses. So not good, right? We don't want pregnant horses, but going back to your body doesn't know how to use it, and it's stopping your own hormones from working, and being created in your body.
It's funny when you say it like that. Like, I'm literally giggling here because it sounds crazy. But I think also a lot of people talk about like the combined pill, estrogen, progesterone, and we're not even using the correct language because it's technically not those things. Like you said, progestin. And sometimes when I teach people about this, I just show them, even if they don't know anything about molecular biology, I'll just show them a picture of the molecules. I'm like, look, you could just see it's different. It's not the same thing. And so what you're talking about is using hormones that are like actual human hormones that our body does make, but for, multiple reasons, we're not making in the correct amounts anymore.
Exactly. And for instance, I feel like a lot of times estrogen gets a bad rap, but there's three types of estrogen. There's E1, E2, and E3. So, and then there's phytoestrogens in the environment that our body thinks is estrogen. So we give our patients estradiol, but E2. So the good type of estrogen that's very protective. Your body makes it. And as you go into perimenopause, menopause, the E2 is what stops, starts dropping. E1 is what starts rising, which can cause problems. And E3 is the estrogen you have when you're pregnant. And so I love that you show, that's why that you show the molecule, because that is the difference, right? Is really showing the molecule and what is it doing to your body, and really showing how it's different. And like how you talked about synthroid, syn, right? It means it's synthetic. That's where they get the name from. And again, your body doesn't know how to use it. And so it can, if your body's not going to use it, like your thyroid, needs it, or it works for a little bit and then it doesn't work. You just keep going up with the dose. And a lot of times too, with thyroid, the provider may not do the full thyroid panel. So they're just looking at the TSH, and the TSH isn't accurate of how your thyroid's working. The TSH is your brain and your thyroid talking. Really, to see what your thyroid is doing and what it needs, you need to look at their free T3. And what also, I mean, we could talk about thyroid for 2 hours. Thyroid is very tiny, but it literally keeps your body alive, and it touches everything in your body and how you feel.
Yeah, I actually we did a couple of weeks ago, I did like a whole deep dive thyroid hormone episode because it's so important. And I'm also starting to see, I don't know if it's just something's in the water, who knows, but like so many people who have been coming to me also struggling with like irregular periods and infertility are also like, I'm just seeing such a crazy amount of people who are having thyroid issues. And I always tell people, like, there are definitely cases where medication is just going to be a tool that you do need to use to manage a thyroid condition, especially when there's been significant damage. If your thyroid has really just not been functioning for a long time, sometimes you need that thyroid hormone, you need that T3. And I just think it's important to point out, like, Synthroid is T4. It's a synthetic form of T4. So your body still has to like take it and then activate it. And a lot of people can be on it, still have a lot of those frustrating symptoms that, they have from hypothyroidism, and they're still not, feeling energized. They're still struggling with weight issues. They don't feel like their best selves. Yeah, brain fog is such a big one.
Because if we prescribe a thyroid medication or Optimal Bio, we prescribe Armour Thyroid or NP. And I'm glad that you said it. So that's T3 and T4 because your thyroid needs both. And it's not that synthetic and I think it's interesting when you see so many more people with thyroid issues. I mean, right, so many things are related, but I think people forget, like, our body works together, right? It all works together. Our sex hormones, testosterone, estrogen, progesterone, and your thyroid work together. So if your sex hormones are unbalanced, it can affect your thyroid. Especially, I'm sure that you guys, you talked about what is birth control to your thyroid. What is actually giving birth to your thyroid? No one talks about that, right? Let alone, iodine not in our food sources. So gluten, what is gluten attacks your thyroid? So, so many things. And a lot of times too, low progesterone or thyroid, is what's causing the infertility as well.
Yeah. No, I think it's so important. Also, you mentioned before that you're running individual labs, which should just be obvious, right? Like, you're looking at people's lab results before and during the treatment protocol, correct?
Correct. Yep.
What are some of the differences that people are seeing once they go on BHRT?
Yeah. So it is pretty incredible. It depends on where you're at. So fatigue, like I said, that's number one. And it's that tiredness that you just can't shake, right? It's that every day. So energy back, brain fog, like I can think again. I can remember things. Sleeping. So sleeping is one of the first things that people feel. So we always say you'll feel benefits 4 to 6 weeks after. Sleep can be maybe 2 to 3 weeks. Again, multiple things can happen with sleep, but it helps with anxiety, depression. Again, that's a journey because you asked in the first part, we're going to the root cause, right? So we are giving your body back what you need so that you can heal. We don't want that band-aid, and we have to give you back your hormones because we don't have them anymore, like insulin to a diabetic. And sadly, we can't create, and so nothing's been created that our bodies can just start producing them on our own again. Aches and pains, recovery in the gym, bone scans. So we've had, a lot of our female patients who had osteopenia, they don't have it anymore.
Wow.
Yes. So, and overall, just feeling better. Like me personally, I got it because I was tired all the time. And on the side note, like I'm very healthy, have done all the work, and I do it every day. And I also was like, if I can feel better day to day, but also help protect my brain, because women get dementia so much more than men, like why would I not? And so I've been on treatment now for like 3 years. And little by little, I could feel like inflammation's going down. Different workouts, I feel stronger. Your brain is just so clear. So it's really individual depending on what they're coming in with. But migraine's a huge thing. Really helps with headaches and migraines. Because a lot of the times, migraines are either a food sensitivity or has to do with hormones. So we see a lot of help with those as well.
So cool. And I want to talk about how this fits in with making diet and lifestyle changes. Yes. Cause that's a big part of what I talk about on the show. It's something that I've seen, like, really just my life has changed. I see a lot of my clients' lives changing when they do start, eating well and trying to reduce their toxic burden, going to sleep earlier. I always talk about sleep. Like, sleep is the most underrated form of medicine.
If you don't have sleep, you can't build anything else.
Yeah. Yes. So I would love to hear your thoughts on, like, because I on the one hand, I do, and I see, thank God, for a lot of people, it really works. Like, it could be enough for some people to be making those healthier diet and lifestyle changes, and they see improvements. And then there's also people who need additional support. And I would love to hear, like, also, for you, if you think with the BHRT, it's something that can kind of replace those diet and lifestyle changes. Is it kind of complementary to them? How does it, how do those things fit together?
So you can never replace food and movement. Like, food is medicine, right? It's either going to hurt your body or keep you healthy. And that's what we always tell our patients. Hormones are the foundation of your health. You need them, right? But if we give you hormones and then you don't go walk and you eat McDonald's, we're going to miss so many pieces. And we'll see that sometimes, especially say with sleep. I still can't sleep well. Now we say, are you on your phone until midnight? What did you have caffeine at 4 p.m., right? There's lifestyle, because we want with the root cause is part of your lifestyle. So I always say, because yes, I am very much nutrition, movement, reducing toxins, but you can't replace the hormones that your body needs, right? So we always say we make the healthy healthier and the unhealthy healthy. So even if they're not going to listen to our nutrition advice or lifestyle advice, they are still going to be healthier than they were without hormones, right? We may not be able to fix all of their concerns. We can't fix anyone's all of their concerns, right? But it's going to be a bigger conversation when they come back in and they're like, why have I not lost weight? Why do I still have some aches, right? It's like, one, nothing's a miracle worker. And two, in order to have that full health, right, full wellness, you have to have the nutrition, the movement, and the lifestyle.
Right, which makes a lot of sense. Like if you're eating a lot of pro-inflammatory foods, it's going to be hard to feel good.
Yes, especially if you have thyroid issues. Yeah.
Right. And on the flip side, like a lot of people, I think also it's funny, and I don't know if you get this in the clinic of people who kind of come in with this stigma, maybe not by the time they're coming to you, of like, but I don't want to be on hormones. I don't want to be on medication. And they almost feel like they failed with the diet and lifestyle stuff if they've tried that. Is that like something you see people coming in with at all?
And they've been told that, right? So all like I would say, if not 100%, 98% of our patients have gone to so many other doctors before they've come to see us, whether they're GYN, they're PCP, and just going like, I don't feel like myself. I don't feel well. I have these symptoms. And they're told, oh, you're fine. Oh, it's because you're a mom. You're tired. Like, you know, it's like, no, like moms should be able to like live their life too, you know? Exactly. They've been told, well, you need to go work out more, or you need to eat less, right? Especially for women. Oh, you need to eat less, which is usually the opposite. So, yes, they do feel like it's something wrong with them. And that's why the education piece is so important. It's like, no, this is why we're lower. This is like the different pieces that can help you, right? And I think too, like how you said, we do blood work in the beginning, all throughout your journey as a patient with us. Our follow-ups are complimentary because healthcare used to be that patient-provider relationship, right? And it's kind of been taken aback in a lot of places. So we want to be able to have those conversations with the patients from beginning and through their time with us to be like, it's not your fault in the sense that, you know, you're trying to do all the right things, right? And what are the right things? There's so much information out there too, which is great,
yeah.
But also can be overwhelming, right? So
for sure.
Yes. Really trying to meet the patient where they're at. And we also have a wellness program, like fully think that's so key. And because like you said, our body needs many things and you need to be able to be open to that as well. Many things, but not many things, if that makes sense, right? You go to the foundationals, yes, but we need to know what those foundationals are, I think.
For sure. And I always tell people also with this stuff, like there are so many avenues to take with your health today. And it's a good thing. Like different things work for different people. And some people see all the success with the diet and lifestyle changes. And some people see tons of success with conventional medicine. Like I don't want to, you know, it's not always against that, but some people, they need something else. And it's another option that I think is so important to know about. And I want to shine a little bit of light right now on that like menopausal stage, because I actually get emails all the time from people being like, can you please talk about this on the podcast? And I know you said you have people, you know, from age 18 coming to you, but I think a lot of people, and I thought this, you know, when I heard about bioidentical hormone therapy, that it's really for people who are either aging, like men who are aging, and I want to talk about men too, but we'll get there. But for women who are struggling in perimenopause and their hormones are decreasing and they're like, what is happening to me? People don't talk about it. I've heard from women who are like, nobody warns me. I literally thought I was losing my mind. I felt so off in so many ways, and it's seriously impacting their quality of life.
Oh, 100%. Like I'm so glad that the conversation is getting louder each year, but it's still not loud enough. It's very sad because I don't think people understand what hormones do to your body, good and bad. They are driving the charge of how you're feeling. And yeah, our average age patient is 37 to 42. So we see a lot of, you know, before perimenopause, perimenopause, going into menopause. And what people don't realize is perimenopause can be 10 years long. 10 years. Yeah. Like that
it's
is
a long time to
long
not
time.
Feel good.
Exactly. And a lot of times too, it starts a lot earlier than you think. It starts like say mid 30s, early 40s. And like, so you're not really thinking about perimenopause, or you may go to your doctor and it's like, well, you just had a baby a year ago, right? So then you're like, okay, yeah, I did just have a baby a year ago. My hormones aren't where they are. And so the thing about perimenopause is your hormones, so females, testosterone, estrogen, progesterone, three of them. We'll talk about guys later. They have testosterone going, you know, they don't have to deal with all three. But is there spiking up and down every single day? Why you can feel like you're losing your mind, because you literally are losing your mind, especially the unknown, right? So for instance, your FSH level is your brain telling your ovaries to produce estrogen. The higher it is, it means you don't have estrogen produced. So that is what signifies, oh, perimenopause into menopause. And so one day we want it less than 20. That's the goal. So one day if I'm in perimenopause, my FSH today could be at 13. I'm good. Literally by Friday, it could be at 60. And so that's hot flashes, night sweats, anxiety, depression. You know, women during perimenopause had the highest suicidal rates, suicidal thoughts, because you really are going through so much between, you know, there's about 100 symptoms we could go through, from your skin to your bones, heart. So women, usually younger women, don't have heart attacks until perimenopause, menopause. And why? And it's because estrogen's a vasodilator. It protects your heart, right? So as it's going down, you have a higher chance of having heart attacks. And so, you know, going back to even how they named a hysterectomy, is named after that women were hysterical. And it's because people don't realize the impact hormones are doing, especially in perimenopause, that are literally just up and down, why you feel so many different ways. And your body's changing too, which also then impacts how you feel as well.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. And again, I think people who are in that stage of life, like, we don't need to tell them that they will feel the impact. They know. But for some of the younger people listening, because I do, I have tons of people in their 20s and 30s who listen. It's kind of similar. Like, you know, when you're about to get your period, you feel differently. When, you know, you're postpartum, a lot of people really feel that major shift in hormones. I've been very open with my audience and my pregnancy journeys. I like have tons of anxiety and depression symptoms come up that I do not, thank God, I never have outside of pregnancy, but just the shift in hormones is like nuts.
And no
it's
one talks
really
about
insane.
That. They always talk about like, oh, postpartum baby blues, but it's like, well, why is that happening? It's like, oh,
yeah,
because your testosterone, estrogen, progesterone, the highest are ever going to be naturally when you're pregnant. And literally as soon as you give birth, they essentially go to zero.
Yeah. And I know a lot of people feel like their symptoms and the way they're feeling have been belittled in, you know, different various spaces. But I think especially with menopause, people are just like, oh, well, like the hot flashes are normal. Sorry, you're like in this phase and this is what life is for you now, or any of those kinds of symptoms. I think it's really just been women have really, you know, not been given the space and the education to be like, this actually is not the way you need to feel.
Yeah.
And it's yeah. really a shame.
It is very sad. Especially like, so the number one reason why women go to nursing homes is incontinence. And if you give estrogen, it literally keeps all of your lower half together. So it's like, there's so many things, like you said, are normal, but they're normal because it happens, but they shouldn't have to happen. And like,
wait, that's so crazy. I told you I'm going to learn so much on this episode. I didn't know that's the main reason women go to nursing
number
homes.
One. And it's like, okay, so we can
Whoa.
Just give. Yes. And two, menopause today, perimenopause, if you look at other societies that have less, you know, before, or different societies that have less chemicals in their food, less xenoestrogens, they don't go through menopause like we do. Or it's much later and it's less. And especially with hot flashes, every time you get a hot flash, it increases your chance of a heart attack. So it's not just, oh, I'm having a hot flash again. It's, oh, what is it doing to my body? What is it? It's your body trying to tell you something, like, I need something. And yes, they go to their doctors. The majority of menopausal women are on an antidepressant because they go to their doctor with menopausal symptoms and they say, here you go. And again, never, I'm not saying that's not needed, but going back to the root cause, okay, well, why are you feeling like this? What can we give you to, one, feel better of these 27 symptoms and then keeping you healthy? You know, estrogen is what keeps your bones flexible. Progesterone is what you need to build bone. So it's like, okay, I could keep my bones healthy so I don't fall and break my hip when I'm 70 and then get an infection and then pass away, right? Like, so much we could prevent. We're just not in that preventative health space. And I hope little by little, we're getting there more.
It's scary. It's definitely scary to think about. And it's, I'll tell you what it reminds me of, because I do speak to some women who have like some pretty obvious symptoms of a hormone imbalance. Let's say a really irregular period. They get their period every 50 days instead of 28 to 32 days. And I've had people message me before being like, listen, it doesn't bother me so much. I actually kind of like that I don't get my period all the time. I'm not trying to get pregnant right now. So like, is it a big deal? And that's what I kind of thought of when you said the incontinence thing, because I also have a lot of friends in that, you know, having babies postpartum stage of life where people might just be struggling with incontinence. And it's also kind of, you know, you see these like funny reels about it on Instagram and everyone jokes about it. And there is like, you know, obviously there's a little human pressing on your bladder when you're pregnant, whatever. But it's not just so much of like, okay, it's annoying, you have to go change your leggings or your underwear. It's like your body's indicating that a really basic function is off. And that could be indicative of something so much more serious. So like, maybe you don't care so much if there's a little incontinence, but like, nobody doesn't care if they have a heart attack, God forbid. So I think it's really important to start to look at those symptoms and think about what they are increasing your risk of, to start thinking about preventative healthcare in just a very different way than we're used to doing, especially in the United States.
Yeah. And like, our bodies are incredible. So they're trying to tell us these things, right? Like, they are trying to tell us. And also, you know, it's just, I think that's just so important. And two, we forget, like, our health impacts everything, right? How we feel about ourselves, families, jobs. And I think sometimes you kind of take that for granted, like you plural. Until like you are sick or you're, especially I think to women, it's like, well, it's fine. I'm fine. Right. And it's like, no, like, you should feel good. You shouldn't have to deal with whatever symptoms you're going through. Like, there should be a work in progress toward healing.
Yeah. And I think also, again, it's just been so normalized for so many people that
yes,
we don't even know that this is a problem and we deserve to be feeling better.
Because you're like, well, my friend feels like this. Oh, my friend feels like this. And it's like 100%. Or it's like symptoms too that may feel a little embarrassing or personal. And then you go to the doctor and you're like, you're fine. You know, so there's just many components that it's hard to maybe to open up.
No, for sure. I mean, we didn't even speak about this, but I know for so many women who are in that like peri or postmenopausal stage, vaginal dryness is something that really affects them, both on just like a comfort level, but also in terms of sex and intimacy. Like, it's a huge part of their life. And, you know, it's like, okay, here, take this cream, or sorry, you got to use more lubricant. Like, there's no, let's look at the root cause of this.
Yes. And it's like, and the root is like, you need estrogen like that, because, and that's what your body's producing, right? It's, we're giving you back what your body already makes. And we had one of our patients went to their GYN and she had vaginal dryness and, you know, it's uncomfortable and with her marriage, you know, uncomfortable as for her and obviously with her marriage. And the doctor was like, I mean, you're past having kids, so why does it matter? And it's like, why does it matter? Because isn't that so sad? And it's just like, How many times is that being told to people, right? Or in
well,
some
because
type of
we're more than
context.
just like vessels to have babies. And listen, I'm all about the babies. I love fertility. I think women are superheroes because of our ability to bring life into this world. But it's such a dismissive thing when,
Correct.
especially if that's like affecting your sex life, to say, well, but you're done having babies. So like, who cares if you have vaginal dryness? Oh my God, that's so upsetting.
I was like, I want to make an appointment at that doctor just to go see him.
Oh, that's
Yeah,
terrible.
so terrible.
Wow. I mean, I know we could talk about all of these things, the thyroid piece and the menopause piece forever. I do have to ask you about men, because I also think, you know, I work with mostly women, but when it comes to fertility, of course, it takes two to tango. And we are just seeing these crazy rates of issues with sperm quality, issues with testosterone production in men. People are not talking about it. A lot of men are also struggling with a lot of these, you know, similar types of symptoms and similar types of health risks as they age as well. But I really want to hear just where BHRT can come into play for men, because I think a lot of people don't know about this.
Yes. So I love that you said that takes two to tango, because I feel like when you're talking about fertility, infertility, it's all about the female. And I'm like, you know, it takes two, and it's about 50-50% of what's going on. So yes, we have, so males, going back to when we talk about like the normal female testosterone ranges, if males get their testosterone tested, the normal range, depending on where you go lab wise, is 282 to 900. Our goal range for male testosterone is 900 to 1300. And again, it was where our grandparents were at naturally. And so, like you said, like the symptoms we see of hormone imbalance, you think of females, we see every day for men, the exact same symptoms, the fatigue, the brain fog, anxiety, depression, trouble sleeping, can't build muscle, just not, no motivation. I was listening to a podcast one day, and the guy in the podcast was like, I describe testosterone as the motivator. And I was like, that is the best way to describe testosterone. It kind of just encompasses all of it.
Yeah, that's funny. I always think of it as like, it's your drive. It's
yes.
your ambition.
Yes.
100%. And it's almost with that like masculine energy. But I think motivation also, it's a good way of phrasing it. And I think for a lot of women listening, they're like, they think of it in a negative way, especially I have a lot of women who listen to have PCOS, and then there's the imbalance with testosterone, but we need it for like our basic drive of wanting to get out of bed and get things done.
And a lot, this is a side note for PCOS, but so many times females are diagnosed with PCOS and has nothing to do with their testosterone, but that's another conversation. So we see men, our patients about 50-50, male, female split. Like you said, the exact same symptoms and exact same preventative, protecting bones, heart, insulin, and men need testosterone. And I joke, but it's not funny. I'm like, because since I'm on testosterone, I'm like, I have more testosterone than the average man, which is not good, right? We see it across the board, and then especially with fertility. So BHRT does not help with sperm count, but Clomid and HCG can. And we do see a lot of our patients that, you know, are on both because they need testosterone and they are trying to get pregnant. But it is a huge problem in society, the male rates of testosterone, the male rates of sperm count, and they're decreasing every single year. And I feel like people are not talking about it as much as they should. And especially for sperm count, there's a lot of things you could do naturally, right? Like stop drinking, stop smoking, sauna, riding your bike, diet is huge. Because, you know, I'm such a root cause person and everything. Sperm count just didn't go down all of a sudden, right? What in the environment is causing that, and trying to fix it that way as well. Medications destroy sperm count that no one talks about. So I think really looking at so many different things. And I also, we always advise all of our male patients who want to have children to get a sperm count. It's always great to have a baseline to see where you're at and what you can start doing CoQ10 is a great supplement for sperm, but
Yeah, we talk about that one. Do you see, does the sperm count go up for people when they start taking testosterone? Like, are people seeing it increase? Or it's more of like it's preserving what you already have?
it can, and it all so, but it also can decrease sperm. So it really just, we don't say testosterone has anything to do with sperm count. It's the
Okay.
Clomid and HCG that will increase it.
Got it. Got it. Interesting. And I know that, again, that's kind of talking when you're in that stage of like, well, I guess men have kind of a larger
Forever.
window
Yeah.
when they might be in that stage of life. But as they're aging, so, you know, people going into their 40s, 50s, 60s, et cetera, what could some of the benefits, or what are some, I guess let's start with some of the issues that people are coming in with, complaining of, symptoms they're struggling with.
Male specific.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, fatigue, lack of motivation, like I come home from work and I sit on the couch. I have nothing. I can't do anything. The brain fog, like not, they're like, I just don't work the same like I used to, or I can't remember things. Recovery in the gym, moodiness. You know, people think of females and moodiness, but it's the same with guys. Belly fat. So those are aches and pains. Those are really the symptoms that we see every day.
Wow.
Because
And
even though females go through perimenopause, guys go through andropause, right? It's just not really talked about as much.
I was going to say, I mean, so there is a name, but like they don't have a name for that phase of life the way that women do. And as we said, obviously, it's not like women, all of their, you know, symptoms and needs and concerns are necessarily being heard and met. But there is this recognition that like this is a thing, this is happening. Men can talk about it together. Like, it's a recognized stage of life that comes with a collection of symptoms. And I feel like for men, they don't even know that this is happening.
And I think we kind of talked about it earlier. They think it's something wrong with them, like their masculinity, if they're low testosterone. So they don't want to say, like, I don't want testosterone. Like, as and we're like, this has nothing to do with you. Like, sadly, you are your testosterone is lower because of environmental factors, right? So really trying to make sure it's like, this has nothing to do with you. We're trying to get you to feel like you again. That's the biggest thing. So I think, especially with guys, they'll be like, I don't need it. I have enough testosterone. And it's like, no. Like, I'm not saying anything about you as a human, but we want to get you to feel better, you to stay healthy. And testosterone is really what keeps it all together.
Yeah, and I want to just make a comment about what you just said, because it's easy to gloss over this idea, but we want to make you feel like yourself. Or I have a lot of people who come to me, and that's one of their issues. And it's a hard thing to like pinpoint and explain it, but it's actually really heartbreaking when someone says, you know, for the last year or two, I just haven't felt like myself. I don't have my energy. I don't have my vitality. I don't find joy in the things I used to find joy in. I don't feel like socially I'm just showing up in the same way or at work. It's your life when you don't feel like yourself. And then when people feel it come back and they're like, and I had that, I had yesterday, someone told me, she's like, I feel like myself again. And she's like, my husband even said, I feel like this is the you that I met when we started dating like 6 years ago. And I was just like, oh my gosh. And you know, you can't measure that stuff necessarily in a lab, but it's so powerful. And so it sounds like this kind of cheesy, oh, like it helps you feel like yourself, but it doesn't feel like your life when you don't feel like yourself.
Exactly. And that's why when people are like, well, what does it help with? Like, what do you see in patients? And, you know, I say that I'm like, you know, the symptoms, but I'm like, we just want people to feel like them again. And the people who are on like treatment, they get it. And other people are like, what? I'm like you said, it impacts everything. And especially, I think sometimes, like when you think of like, oh, hormones or like testosterone, it's like, oh, we want you to be like an 18-year-old. And we're like, no. We don't want you to, like, it has nothing to do with it. We just want you to feel like how you used to feel. And it you can get back there.
Yeah, I'm curious also if you see this for people where if they're struggling with some of the diet and lifestyle changes that can be really helpful for them. Maybe they're struggling to wake up early to exercise or even to have like the energy to cook a healthy meal. Because let's be real, it takes time and energy to do these things. Do you ever see for some people, they're just like, they either lack the motivation or energy to do that. And then this can kind of be like a a starting point for them to have some of that support where like they feel a little bit better. And then it kind of allows them to get to a point where they're making those changes. You know what I mean?
100%. And that's a great point. And that's exactly what we say. It's like, you're going to have the energy to want to go work out and then, or then go pick out, you know, go make a good meal for yourself. It's like such a, like a domino effect of like, we're giving you the fuel to have that motivation, to have that energy, right? And then it compounds on it. And especially because people, especially, you know, this day and age, all about weight loss and quick weight loss. And we're like, we will never say we are weight loss, right? But we're giving you the tools. Testosterone is what builds muscle. So then it burns fat. It gives you the motivation to go work out, you know, to go eat healthy. But yes, exactly. It's like, we wanted that compound effect of, and we see that all the time.
Yeah. And it reminds me, I don't know what your thoughts on it are, but we have had practitioners on the show who have talked about Ozempic and how for some people, like they do not feel like they're in a place where they could even get themselves to the gym because they're struggling so much with their weight, whether that's because of like they're so self-conscious or they literally just feel like I can't go. It's so hard for me to walk. I have so much joint pain. It kind of gives them a little booster and a kickstart. And I really want to like open up the space for people to not feel shame about needing these things. Again, I think we live in a world that it feels so black and white and people feel so judged about some of these things, but like different tools exist if you need them. And for some people, I think this could be a really helpful part of their, you know, their health journey.
100%. And like you said a few minutes ago, health and wellness, it is a journey. It takes energy, it takes time and different tools, right? And, you know, I very focused on like specifically for me, like my gut health and inflammation. And I love testosterone. Like I always joke, I'm like, I would never not be on testosterone. And I'm like, and once, you know, once I see my levels through perimenopause, I'm getting a little of E and I'm skipping menopause, right? Because I know the effects of what it does for me personally, for your body. And I think just really educating yourself on what tools are best for you and how you want to feel.
Yeah, I think that's really amazing. And one other thing I also just want to point out, because I always think about this when I talk to my clients about trying to reduce their exposure to environmental toxins.
Yes.
You could definitely, and I encourage people like try to make healthier choices at home with your cleaning products, your beauty products, all the stuff that's going on your body. But at the same time, we just live in this world where there are so many things you can't control. And even like, you know, the air quality and the water, and you can get different filtration systems. It's pretty expensive. You're also not going to just stay in your house forever and like not go to public places and not, I mean, maybe there are some people who do that, but most of the people I think who listen to this podcast, they're regular people. They want to live regular lives. And we're really exposed to so much beyond just what's in our home. And it's hard. And I always tell people like, this is the rate of hormone imbalances today. It's not your fault. It's not because you did something so wrong and bad and different than everybody else. We're like fighting a really uphill battle here because of just our food system. And again, all these different things that have been put into our environment that we really can't control.
No. And it's like, it all started really back in the 80s, right? Like we're the test subjects of all these chemicals, foods, you know what I mean? Like, so that's why they're like, well, I used to eat X and I was fine, right? It's totally different. But no, I just love that you said that. It's like, and two, because yes, reducing toxins is so important for so many things, right? Disease prevention, cancer prevention, but you also have to live life. And so stress is not good. So it's just like really focusing on what can you control and then just letting the other things be. And that's going to look different for each person, right? But not letting it consume you. And I think doing it little by little, like when you run out of something, then exchange it, right? And
yeah.
Also, you're going to feel so much better. So then it just kind of becomes part of your life.
Totally. And it's funny, you get used to these things. I always say like my sense of smell became heightened when I removed yes. the synthetic fragrances. Like I can't even walk into a room now, really, when they have the wall plugins with the diffusers and stuff. It's really overwhelming. But I used to love going into Bath and Body Works. My mom would be like, I'll wait for you outside. That was like the, you know, the fun thing to do in the mall. And I think even though, again, you can make those choices where you're like, I'm not putting on perfume, I'm not putting synthetic fragrance laced things into everything that I touch. There is still so much. And they've done the studies where they look at, especially again, I've seen a lot of them related to fertility, when they look at like placentas, when they look at eggs and embryos, like there are, I think 99% of them have been exposed to BPA. Like there are just microplastics everywhere in everything. Even if, you know, you're like, but I eat so healthy and I make sure I'm having, you know, salmon and I'm having this, like it's in our oceans. It's in our animals. So like we're trying to get our protein in, and there's just only so much we could do. And I do, I think it's important to talk about where, like, you know, sometimes diet and lifestyle can only take you so far in this world, or just having supplementary tools can be a benefit for some people.
Oh yeah. I'm always like, step one, get anything scented out of your house. Throw out those scented trash bags. Like, you got to get those fragrances out.
The scented Thank trash
bags. I'm like, get them out. Like, no, you don't
That's
need
so
this.
Funny.
Yeah.
Yeah. Amazing. Okay. Well, Tyler, this was amazing. So informative. For people who are really interested in this, who have questions, who want to either reach out to you or reach out to Optimal Bio, can you tell everybody? And we'll link up the website in the show notes, but tell everybody if they want to get started, what the next steps are and where they could find you.
Yeah, definitely. So our website is optimalbio.com, and we have a lot of educational resources. We have a book called The Hormone Handbook that really gives you a great overview of the science and the why behind BHRT and hormones. You could download it from our website, or we could send you a copy. We have a blog, we have a podcast, and then our Instagram, Optimal Bio, also a lot of educational content about hormones and what we do. And you could fill out a form online or give us a call. And we do something called a new patient call. So but even before you become a patient, we go basically a mini consult with you. So answering your questions about your symptoms, about what we do, so that you can get some more information before you come in.
Okay, amazing. Awesome. Thank you so, so much, Tyler. This was so informative. I learned so much. I'm sure my listeners did too. And thank you for your time.
Thank you. It was great.
Thank you so much for listening to the About Health and Hormones podcast. If you loved today's episode, I would love to know. Please leave a rating and review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify so I can make this podcast even better for you all. I would love to connect with you. Follow me on Instagram at Lauren Allen Nutrition, or head to my website, www.laurenallennutrition.com, to learn about my coaching programs and stay up to date on all of my latest workshops and courses. I am so glad you are here today, and I wish you all health and happiness.